this word has been with me for a couple of weeks, and God's been pouring it in, and so I thought, right, it's about time that I pour it out, and let's do what God wants us to do. I've titled it Living Witnesses. God wants us to be living witnesses for Him. And that's a powerful calling, but we're not doing it of ourselves. We are empowered by the Spirit of God to do great wonders and signs and miracles. And it's all because of His salvation. We've been celebrating the communion today and the fact that Jesus went to the cross for us. And Isaiah 53 verses 3 to 5 give us an account of that. It's a very popular one. You'll know it probably off by heart. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. This is the important verse. And the next one. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He's done it. It's done. He's taken it. Does not belong to us. He's taken our griefs. He's taken our sorrows. He bore it all on the cross and broke its power. He was bruised for our iniquities, for our sins. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Don't beg. Don't ask God to heal you. He's done it. You are healed right now. Doesn't matter what your body says. God says. He's the highest authority. And he says, you are healed. Okay? Are we agreed?
Amen.
Colossians 1, verses 13 and 14. For he has rescued me. He's rescued us. Put your name in there. He's rescued Grace from the dominion of darkness. And he has brought me into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom I have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I am redeemed. I do not belong in the devil's kingdom. Well, he doesn't have a kingdom. I am not under the power of the devil. He has no hold on me. He has no say in my life. God is in charge of me. He loves me. I'm in his kingdom, the kingdom of light. He transferred me from darkness into light. And I need to walk in that light every hour of every day. Amen. And anything that comes across my path that tries to tell me contrary, bows the knee to the name of Jesus. Amen. And we are the ones who exercise it. Okay? 1 Peter 2 and verse 24 says this, who himself bare our sins in his own body on the tree, in order that we, being dead to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Okay? Peter said it's a finished work. It's done. You need to consider it done. So from those few scriptures, I draw this conclusion. When you and I came to the cross in repentance, at that very moment we came to the cross and asked for forgiveness, all our sins were forgiven. We don't have any problem with that, do we? And we were healed for time and eternity. The old was gone, The new came, and what did we become? I am a new creation. No more in condemnation. Here in the grace of God I stand. Yes.
Hallelujah.
I'm a new creation. I've been reading a few scriptures from the message, and they've really blessed me, and I want to share some of them with you. 1 Peter 2 and verse 5 says, your old birth, your natural birth, came from mortal sperm. Your new birth comes from God's living word. Just think, a life conceived by God. He gave me life. He birthed me. I'm a new creation. Ephesians 4, verses 4 to 18. I just want to read these from the message. No prolonged infancies among us, please. We'll not tolerate babes in the woods. Small children who are an easy mark for imposters. God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth and tell it in love. Like Christ in everything. We're like Christ. When the devil looks at you, he sees Jesus. You think he's going to hang around? We take our lead from Christ, who is the source. He's the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with one another. And this is the crunch. His very breath and blood flow through us. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Nourishing us, so that we will grow up healthy in God and strong in love. Wow. Ephesians 2 and verse 5 says, he took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. I want you to know I'm very much alive today. And every day.
Amen.
And I don't think the devil's pleased when Grace gets out of bed. But I'm happy at that. Okay, are you?
Amen.
Glad to be alive. You received Christ the Master. This is Colossians 2 and verse 6. You received Christ the Master. Now live him. Live as Christ lived. I remember, we're going back a long time, a somewhat of a prickly Christian was in our house, and she was taking much exception to the fact that we believe that Christ is in us and that we are here to do what Christ did. And we were obviously getting under her skin. And she looked at Andrew and she said to him, well, I suppose you think you're a little Jesus. And he thought about it a second and he said, well, actually, I do. Well, the lid blew off. The lady went, never to return. But it offends some people. They cannot accept that Jesus says, you've accepted Christ, now live him. Colossians 2 and verse 19 says, Christ, who put us together in one piece, whose very breath, the breath of the Spirit and blood flow through us. That's twice. We've been conceived by him. His breath and his blood is flowing through you. Living. He's made us alive in Christ. Some time back, I think it was a couple of years ago, we did it again. We did the Lord's Prayer by Larry Lee, and it is a very good study. And in it lists the five benefits that Jesus purchased for us on the cross. And these are new covenant benefits to all who come to Jesus. For sin, he is Jehovah, our righteousness. What's Andrew been saying? We are righteous not because of what we do. We'd never make it. It's not about self-righteousness. It's about standing in the righteousness of Christ. He is my righteousness. I stand complete in him. Jehovah Makedesh, Jehovah who sanctifies. He made me holy. He made you holy. Not because of what you did, but because you are in Christ. For our spirits, he is Jehovah Shalom. What does that mean? He is Jehovah, our peace. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives it. My peace I give to you. Jehovah Shammah, the God who is there. Daniel took that a couple of weeks ago. Jehovah Shammah, the God who is there. He's always with us. Constantly. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He knows the most intimate thoughts. He knows a word before we speak it. He knows what we're going to say, what we're going to do. Blows you out. He is Jehovah Rophe, the God who heals. He did it at the cross. He healed me. For time and for eternity. He's my success, Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah's provision shall be seen. And I've been thinking these past few days, the devil's been saying, you've got a lot of people in your congregation that travel. Price of petrol, they're not going to come. Well, here you are, devil. Jehovah's provision shall be seen. If God's called you here, he'll pay your petrol exceedingly abundantly and beyond. God is our provider. Not the world system, not your wage packet. God is our provider. And you can be an hilarious giver because he too is a hilarious giver. He will give to you exceedingly abundantly, beyond what you can ask or imagine. So let's get it up here. He's Jehovah Nissi, my banner in battle. I always remember Helen speaking on this. The banner, when you're in battle, you need a banner to run to. It shows you where your tent is, where your camp is, where the commander is. That's where you need to know. Where the flag's flying is where your commander is. And if you're in any doubt, run to the flag. Amen? Run to the banner. His banner over me is love. Praise God. He always loves me. He always accepts me. It's not conditional. It's unconditional. And he's Jehovah Rohi, my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, and the rest of it. The most beautiful psalm. Everything is taken care of in that one, Psalm 23. So I need to say this. God's blueprint is this. This new creature is conceived by God himself. Therefore, this new creation is curse-free, sickness and disease-free, mentally and emotionally strong, peaceful, successful, favored, blessed, prosperous, strong, live and green in old age. Have I missed anything? He's the God for all seasons. Amen. Amen? He lives in me. He lives in you. He wants to give you of his fullness. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He will restrict you in any area that he can. You have to resist him. Amen? If you object to being contained and restricted in poverty and sickness, then it's time to submit to God. What God says is the truth. That's who you are. And resist the devil, and he'll be gone. When he knows that you know, he's gone. Because he has no power over you from that point. So how is it possible? When Andrew and Daniel were sharing on Wednesday, I read this in Proverbs 4, and I could have jumped over the seats. Proverbs 4 in the Message, verses 20 to 22, says this: Dear friend, listen well to my words. Tune your ears to my voice. Keep my message in plain view at all times. Concentrate. Learn it by heart. Those who discover these words live. Really live. Body and soul, they're bursting with health. Now, where have we read that before? What does Joshua 1 say? Keep my word ever before you. Meditate it. Keep it in your heart. And you will be courageous. You will have prosperity. You will have success. No one will be able to stand against you all your life. Proverbs is reiterating that. So what's the problem? Renewing our minds. I'll say it again, bringing the fanatic in the attic into agreement with the fella in the cellar. The fanatic in the attic is my mind. The fella in the cellar is my spirit. It's the fella in the cellar that my mind needs to listen to. Okay, not the media, not what anybody else says. It needs to listen to what the fella in the cellar knows. Because the Word of God says a kingdom divided cannot stand. So if your mind and your spirit disagree, your mind's saying it can't be true because I've got sickness in my body. Well then submit to God. God says you're healed. It was done at the cross. I gave you healing there. I conquered every sickness and disease there. Now, receive it. Stand on it. And if we'll, and this is not something that happens overnight. But there's a few things we need to learn that will hinder that word taking root in our minds as well as in our spirit. It's essential that we know the Word of God so that we think and we speak what God speaks. Our God's Word in our mouth is as powerful as God's Word in His mouth. It's this book that is living alive and active. You speak it and it will go to work straight away. But you know, we've got a mouth too. And what does James say? It's a little, that tongue is a little rudder that steers the ship. Oh, it gets us into trouble. It sets off a fire from a spark and off it goes rampant. Proverbs says, as a man thinks, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, whatever's in your heart will come out of your mouth. So if the word of God's in your mouth, the word of God will come out. If negativity's in your heart, it'll come out. If you think old, you'll talk old. If you think sick, you'll talk sick. And that will counter the word of God. It will cancel out what God says, because God submits to what you say. He'll come in agreement with you. If you say I'm old, then God says all right. If you say you're old, you're old. But the truth is, he renews my youth like the eagle. Okay. We're made in God's image, who created the world by the words of his mouth. Our words are powerfully creative. We create our environment by our words. Whatever's going on in your environment, check your words. Our life and our destiny are determined by what we believe and what we speak. Justify it, Grace. Proverbs 18 and verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. How? Proverbs 10 and verse 11 says, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. Whoop! Proverbs 12 and verse 6 says, the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. Proverbs 12 verse 18 says, the tongue of the wise is health. Speak health to your body. Don't curse it. Proverbs 13 and verse 3 says, he that keepeth his mouth, keepeth his life. You can shoot your mouth off and destroy your life. If you keep confessing, I've got heart disease, or I've got this, or I've got that, or I've got the other, or you're cursing yourself. If you can't speak what God said, keep your mouth shut and don't say anything. That's the lesser of two evils. And get in the Word of God and find out what God says, and then start saying what God says. I had a challenge this past few weeks. I was told that my cholesterol was way too high. And the devil's saying, runs in your family, heart disease. Killed your father, nearly destroyed your sister, going to do it to you. And I thought, I need to cut back, I need to avoid all this fatty stuff. And then I realised that sugar is just as bad for you. So I thought, you can't eat fat, you can't eat sugar. Well, can you? What a miserable lie. I don't like this. And so I started to say to God, what do you say about it, God? And that scripture popped up in Exodus, Andrew knows the reference, 14. Oh, Exodus 23:25. He will bless my bread, and he will bless my water, Now, there'll be none in your barren, none of your barren in your land. And the number of my days he will fulfill. The devil's not taking me out. That food is medicine to me. It's life to me. The curse, people say, well, fat's not good for you. Well, God says the fat belongs to the Lord. He loves it. I'm his offspring. There's no taste if there's no fat, let me tell you. I don't care what they tell you. All they do is pour sugar in. And that destroys your vital organs. Yeah. You can't win. So the way to win is this. He blesses my bread. What God has blessed can't be cursed. What did Balaam try to do to the children of Israel? He tried to curse the Israelites. And they paid him to try and do it. And he did it 3 times. And on the 3rd time, he said, it's useless. He said, because what God has blessed, I can't curse. They're a blessed people, and there's no way I can curse them. So if God says your food's blessed, it's blessed if you believe it. If you eat it in fear, thinking it's going to harm you, it'll do just that. You've got to bring the fella in the cellar in line with the fanatic. Well, sorry, you've got to bring the fanatic in the attic in line with the fella in the cellar. And you've got to know. Because if you don't know, the devil is, he's going around as a roaring, lion. If Andrew says he's got no teeth, as a roaring lion, he's not a real lion. He makes himself out to be much bigger than what he is. But the fact of the matter is that we have to know, because this lion, if you know what a lion does, it looks for the weak one in the pack. And then it starts to go for it and it starts to segregate it. It starts to separate it from the flock. We need to be where God's people are. There's safety in numbers. There's safety in the house of God. That's where we need to be. The lion wants to separate an animal off, and then he can bring it down and kill it and destroy it. And that's what his tactic is. And we had that experience of a member of my family. Yes, she believes God will heal her. Andrew, pray for me. Pray for me. So we pray for her. She's fine. Few days later, Andrew, pray for me, pray for me. Then she's fine. And the last time it was, pray for me. Yes, but you have to know that you are healed. Because we can keep praying, but you're like a colander, you leak. And the devil comes back and he sees you're still vulnerable. You don't know that you know. The fanatic hasn't got it like the fella in the cellar. Your fanatic needs to know. And when he knows the devil has no hold on you, he's lost it. The only way that you will know that you know is to submit to God and know the Word of God. Bible school. You need to know who you are and the Word of God. 1 John 4 and verse 17 says this. For as he is, so are we in this world. That's a huge call. You are all little Jesuses. As he is, so are you in this world. The world needs victors, not victims. Amen. And God is saying to his church, it's time to grow up. It's time to stop being babes in the wood, running to everyone for healing. And that does not mean don't come out for healing. But God is challenging us and is saying, yes, we can keep doing this, but eventually you've got to know that you know that you know for yourself, because you will come up against a certain situation where there is nobody to call and you need to put the devil out. Amen?
Amen.
So, disciples have to become the answer, not the problem. Acts chapter 3, Peter and John at the gate, beautiful. And there was a man who was lame, and he asked them for money. And Peter said to him, such as I have, give I unto you. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And immediately he took his hand and his feet and his ankle bones received strength, and he rose up and walked. That's what we're there to do. That's what we're here to do. As he is in this world, so are we. Praise God. We need to be the answer, not the problem. So how do we get there? Submit to God. In other words, agree with God. Agree with the Word of God. Know the Word of God. Believe the Word of God. Agree with Him. Stand on it. Resist the devil with "it is written." God says, you're a liar, devil. I'm not looking at what you're saying. I'm not focusing on that. I'm focusing on the Word of God. And if we will do that, he will flee from us. I always remember, again, many years ago, Andrew had flu symptoms one Friday night. He went to bed and he said, I feel absolutely rubbish. And then he thought, perhaps it's not good to say that. So he said, God said he'll bless my bread and my water. He said, get me some toast and a drink. So I got him some toast and a drink. And he said, Father, I thank you that this bread and this water is blessed and sickness taken from me. And I agree with that, and I stand on that, and that's what's going to happen. Well, in that next morning, he said, I feel like I've been fighting all night. He said, I've been in a battle all night. But he said, guess what? I ain't got flu. Praise God! And for 30 years, he never had flu. What happened this time? Amen. Well, COVID, no excuse. Bow the knee to the name of Jesus, don't it?
Amen.
Amen. So, the sower sows the word where it requires good soil to put down roots and produce fruit. Our hearts and lives are the soil that God wants to sow seeds into that will produce a harvest, not just for us, but for the world. That we can walk as Jesus walked, that we can live and be as Jesus lived, and reach the people's needs. So it does take time for that word to develop. And how does it develop? It develops as we meditate that word. In other words, chew it and chew it and chew it. Until that particular day, it'll suddenly burst into the fanatic's attic and kick him out, because you're free. You're home and dry when that word is up here as well as down here. Amen. Verse Mark 4 and verse 20 says, but the seed that is planted in good earth represents those who hear the word, embrace it, and produce a harvest beyond their wildest dreams. Whew! Come on, folks. We've got life oozing out of us. Don't let the devil stop it. Don't let him bottle it up. Don't sacrifice the wildest dreams God's got for you. I love this verse. Psalm 92. And verses 12 to 15 in the Message say this. My ears are filled with the sound of promise. God giving you a promise. There's hundreds of them in this book. We've been through a few today. My ears are filled with these promises. My ears are filled with the truth. I'm focusing the truth. Good people will prosper like palm trees. They will grow tall like Lebanon cedars, transplanted to God's courtyard. God wants his people planted tall in the house of God, so that when they get out, they can live as representatives of him. They'll grow tall in the presence of God. Lithe and green and fruitful still in old age. Such witnesses to upright God. God wants us to reach out to be living witnesses, living examples of who he is. We need to live Jesus. We need to let Jesus flow to us, but we need to know that we know that we know that the work that was done at Calvary is a finished work. It's a complete work. You are not waiting to be healed, you are healed. You're not waiting to be prosperous, you are prosperous. You're not waiting to have peace, he's given you his peace. He's given you everything you need that pertains to life and godliness. You won't come up short in any area. It's yours. Yours to use. To those outside, that they might see living examples. God has done his part, and now he says, are you willing to do yours? The challenge. Father, I thank you that you truly have done your part. You've done everything. You've given everything. You've made us. You've seated us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're in Christ. And as Andrew said on Wednesday, where is Jesus seated? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And I am in Christ, and Christ is in me. So where am I seated? At the right hand of the Father. Whoa! You have blessed us and empowered with everything that we need, Father. I pray that this word will not leave us until it brings forth a mighty harvest in the lives of all who have heard it, that they will submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from us. That we shall live victorious Christian lives, the life of the overcomer, in Jesus' name.